Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Locked On Badgers. We got our draft takeaway show. As always, I got the incomparable Justin Jokel with me. We're going to talk a little bit about which Badger went too high, which Badger went too low, and which of the late round picks do we think have the best chance of sticking on a roster. All that and more in today's Locked On Badgers.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's good, guys? Locked On Badgers here, your daily source for all your Badgers football, college basketball news and notes. Thank you, as always, for making Locked On Badgers your first listen every day. Free and available wherever you get podcasts, free and available on YouTube now. Really appreciate all the support. We're going to get into our draft recap show. We're going to bring Justin Jokel in, the brainchild of the Bucky cast, longtime Badger fan. Justin, we're going to jump into this. First segment, we're going to talk about the top picks. So we're going to break it down into three guys. Leo Chanel went third round to the Kansas City Chiefs. Jake Ferguson, fourth round to the Dallas Cowboys. And Logan Bruss, third round, also third round to the Los Angeles Rams. Or St. Louis. Yeah, Los Angeles Rams. My mind still gets messed up on their moves. I hate it so much. Out of those three dudes, who went too high? Who went too low? What are your takeaways?
Well, Chanel went way too low, in my opinion.
You had him as a first-round guy, right?
I did. I think there's a lot of GMs that are overthinking this. I think he's a guy that is elite against the run. I think he's elite probably as a pass rusher through the middle. I think you can argue that he's not great in coverage, but I think that that's something that if I legitimately think he's the type of guy you can build a defense around, that you can make him a game plan destroyer with his physicality and athleticism. And I think that that's something that most linebackers don't have. Like, this is a guy who legitimately can take on a lineman and blow up a play by shoving him back into a running back or shoving him back into the quarterback, because he's going to be as strong. And if a lineman doesn't come physical to him, he's going to go right through him. He is a guy that you don't want to put in coverage. Like, if you're putting him in coverage, you're misusing him. So when people say, well, you can put that guy, you can kind of, you know, make him uncomfortable. Guess what? If you're playing a 3-4, you know what you do? You have him flip with the other guy. If somebody goes in motion or whatever, you need to swap. There are things you can do with a player like him that you can hide them on every given play if you need to, especially if what you're going to do is say, we're going to take the leash off you and you're just going to cause havoc. And that's kind of what he did at Wisconsin. You know, Sanborn was the guy who was tasked with being dropped in coverage for the most part. Chanel did it a little bit, but it wasn't very often. And that's part of the reason why he wasn't great at it. But he is a guy with his level of physicality, it jumps off the page even at the NFL level. I think that Chiefs fans are going to be in shock when they see this guy play. And they're like, oh my God, this guy's a monster. Like, he's crushing people out there. So that's my big takeaway. I've been wanting to vent about that for a while, that I feel like he was completely shocked me that he was still there as late as he was.
Man, I am glad to give you the opportunity to vent, because I agree with you. Like, this is a dude that has been clocked over 20 miles an hour, 255 pounds, with productivity behind him. You know, and same thing you said. People are getting too cute with this, right? Well, he can't cover great. Bro, you don't need to cover if you hit the quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, for him to fall towards the end of the third, I thought was a travesty. Yeah. And I was wrong, by the way. I was wrong. I said second round dude, no way is he slipping out of the second. Yeah. I was wrong. I think in the long run, let me finish up on this. In the long run, I think it's the NFL GMs that passed on him that'll be wrong. Yeah.
Hands down, it would not shock me in the least for him to be a 10-year Pro Bowler. Mm-hmm. I loved Schobert when he was at Wisconsin. He does not have the physical tools that Leo Chanel has. And he was a Pro Bowler for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Leo Chanel is a guy that will be a freak for probably the next 6-7 years for sure, athletically, just because he has play strength that most guys don't have. The Packers took that middle linebacker in the early round because he's a coverage guy. He is not going to do the things that Leo Chanel can. Like, you're going to put guys in third and long. And my thing with the Packers was, yeah, if he blows up run plays to start the drive, you send him at the quarterback and you have Devondre Campbell drop. You know, you could have been doing that with this. And now instead, you wanted position flexibility where either guy can drop. And it's like, okay, well, I guess that works. Right.
But you could have just taken the pass rusher in Chanel and kept the in-state kid home. And by the way, how much fun would that be as a Packers fan to cheer for Chanel after being a Badgers fan?
Well, it's not only that, but because if you can't stop the run, they're not going to be passing on third down anyways, because it's going to be third and three. Right. And now they have the option to run it up the gut on you because you don't have anybody that can really come downhill and cause problems.
Right. And the funny thing is, too, the league has become a passing league. Like, we all know that. However, the reason the 49ers gave the Packers so much trouble for so many years is because they just ran the ball on them. Yeah. Right. And it's not just the Packers. Like, the reason, you know, there's teams that if they can run the ball, they will. You know, it's not like you don't have to stop the run anymore in the NFL.
And the big thing is at the end of games, you need, and the other team's trying to salt you away, you need to be able to stop the run. Like, it's, you have to. And that's something the Packers, that's their biggest weakness, is that they really truly struggle. When a team wants to get physical and come downhill at them, they really struggle to consistently stop teams. And if you can, you know, keep a team at third and six, you know, third and eight, because you just stomped them on two run plays, that changes the end of ball games when you want an opportunity to come back in. You have one of the best quarterbacks in the league that can, you know, give you an opportunity to come back and win that game.
No, I agree with you on Chanel, man. I think NFL teams are going to really regret passing on him for a couple rounds. Let me ask you about Bruss quick. I actually was surprised. I had Bruss in my prediction show as a fifth rounder.
Yeah,
I'm surprised he went in the third. Like, I don't see – God love it. Like, I want all these dudes that be awesome, have great careers. I don't see the high-end potential on Bruss that use a third-round pick on him. Am I wrong on that, or where are you at on Bruss?
I mean, do we with Ricky Wagner, though?
No.
Some of these guys that hung around the league. They were good. They were good guys, but they weren't guys that we looked at and like, this is a first-rounder or second-rounder or whatever. These are guys that grounded out when they got to the NFL and became good players and picked up big contracts.
Sure.
And I think that has – that attitude has kind of – been something that the Rams have picked up on. They've taken multiple Badgers now.
Yep. Rob Havenstein's on that offensive line.
Have not regretted it at all. And now they're like, of course, we'll take another one.
Yeah, I think they like the culture. Yeah, they like the culture. Jake Ferguson going in the fourth round to the Cowboys. I actually had him as a fourth rounder. I think that's good value for him. I think he's going to have a long career as a number two-ish tight end, which is awesome. I like the fit a lot.
I had him more around the fifth. I think the big weakness for him is just quick, like overall speed. He ran like, I think a 4.8 or a
tick. Yeah, I think under it was 4.78. So yeah, basically 4.8.
Yep. And if he ran a 4.65, he probably would have been an upper third rounder type guy. Like, he's got great hands. I think he's pretty athletic for a tight end. He's not a freak, but he's a guy who will go up and get the ball, and he's flexible in the air. Like, guys who have ball skills when they go up for it are not necessarily something you always see at the tight end position. I think Ferguson has some of that. And, yeah, he's a guy who will leak out. I think he can make a career of being a guy who gets forgotten about in the passing game a little bit and makes plays. So I think that there's some opportunity there for him.
And I think he's totally a guy. You know what you're going to get with Ferguson. He's played at Wisconsin for 4 years. He's pretty dependable. Like you said, he catches the ball really well. He's got great hands, but he's not going to be explosive.
He's not a body catcher, for sure.
Yeah, he's not a body catcher, but you know what you get. And in the fourth round, if you can get a solid tight end who you think is going to play for a while, catch 20 passes a year, you know, that's a win. And I think he's a good locker room guy, too, probably. He's grown up around football, obviously.
Yeah, he's a solid blocker, too. So, I mean, he's not a guy who has any real bad weakness.
Nope. I think he's a guy that gives a crap, and that matters in football. All right, guys, coming up. Well, we're going to keep Justin on the show for as long as humanly possible. We are going to jump into some of the late round picks, the UDFAs from the Badgers. Who do we think, you know, was really the best deal there? Who has the best chance of latching on and having a long career? Who was overlooked? We're going to get into that next. But first, today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best companion you can have on your fitness journey. It's healthy. It tastes well. And it's really this community of this company that created this community, you know, where they wanted to give you the tools to be healthy. You know, they wanted to give you the nutritional tools to be healthy. Everything with Built Bar is tasty. The variety is excellent. It's all 100% chocolate. Everything's 100% chocolate. You know, 17 to 20 grams of protein, less than 3 grams of sugar per bar. So it's something you can feel good about reaching for. It's going to give you that nutritional boost that you want. It's going to feed your body, and it's not a chore to eat. You know, and because if things are a chore to eat, you're never going to reach for them. And this is something that you don't mind snacking on. You don't feel like it's a chore to eat. It's tasty. It's delicious. It's nutritious. Built Bar is definitely something I've been using a lot. Go to built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 and you get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your order. And guys, thank you again for making Lockdown Badgers your first listen every day. Free and available wherever you get podcasts. We're going to jump back in with Justin. We're going to talk about some of the late round dudes. I know he's got some thoughts here. Justin, let me give you kind of the readout here, and then I want you to take it. Who in this group is undervalued? So you had Matt Henningsen went in the sixth round to the Broncos, Fayon Hicks, seventh round to the Broncos. Then you had a cadre of UDFAs. So Danny Davis, Jack Sanborn, Caesar Williams, Josh Seltzner, Scott Nelson, and Kendrick Pryor. Out of that group right there, which of those dudes is most undervalued?
Sanborn. I actually had him in the fifth round. I actually think even at that point, I felt that he was undervalued. The production that he had at the college level was very, very good. I don't think that he's not going to jump off the page athletically, but I don't think he's a guy who's athletically weak for the NFL game. He's probably not a great coverage guy. I think he's just a decent all-around linebacker, and I think he's instinctual, and I think he plays really hard. He scares me to death going to the Bears because it would not shock me for him to play for them for 10 years as a starter.
And be a really good career.
That really bugs us where he makes plays late in games that are frustrating.
How painful would that be to have Sanborn out there making game-saving tackles on the edge at third and one, right? I think Sanborn's a good one. I'm going to go in a different direction, but I mostly agree with you on Sanborn. I think him. I had him just in my projection shows getting in the seventh round. You know, I didn't think a guy could be that productive at Wisconsin at a high level and frankly completely fall out of the draft. I think that's a bit of an overlooked player there. I know the athletic skills aren't quite up to, not even Chanel, up to what the NFL evaluator is looking for. But at some point you watch film too, and this guy makes a lot of plays. I like Fayon Hicks a lot, and I'm not saying that he was undervalued. You know, he's picked in the seventh round. I like the fact that he's feisty. He has legitimate speed. He played a lot. And played a lot against really good receivers. He was part of that team that shut down David Bell with Purdue. You know, he guarded him a lot in that game. So did Caesar Williams, but Hicks was on him a lot. Hicks was cornerback one last year for, you know, again, we talk about productivity. This is one of the best pass defenses in the country. And Hicks isn't tiny. Like Hicks is a solid 5'10", 5'11", with 4.4-ish speed. I think he's going to stick.
I think he very well could. The thing that sticks with me was the game against Nebraska where I saw him trailing in coverage a few times, and that for whatever reason got stuck in my head of like, I didn't think I was shocked when the speed numbers came out for him. I did not think that he was that fast. So good for him putting up good pro day numbers. I actually, my other guy is Henningsen.
I like Henningsen.
I actually thought he'd be higher because I legitimately think Henningsen will carve out a career 5, 6, 7 years in the pros as a guy who will start. I think he's better than Loudermilk, and that's no slight to Loudermilk, but I think that there's a lot of talent in Henningsen. I think he was more explosive than Loudermilk, and I think he might even been a little stronger.
Yeah. I don't know about stronger. I think he's more explosive.
Yeah.
Different frames too. I like Henny a lot. Loudermilk, to your point, is a guy who played quite a bit for the Pittsburgh last year, had a pretty solid season. So if you think he's going to be better than him, then he's definitely going to carve out a solid career for the Broncos or wherever he goes. The thing too with Henny is he's essentially brilliant, right? Like he's a double like biochemistry, mechanical engineering type major. So the guy is incredibly smart, and he's been a really good player for again one of the best defenses in the country. I don't think that should go overlooked. Yeah, at some point, here's one for you, and this is not about Henningsen. I was watching the draft, and I'm seeing a couple Nebraska defense players get picked before anybody from Wisconsin, and there's a part of me that's just like, how is Wisconsin continually putting out the best defense in the Big Ten, one of the best defenses in the country, and none of these dudes are getting drafted before dudes from Nebraska's team who are getting lit up every week. And I know that's not completely fair all the time, but there's a part of me that's like, these dudes are undervalued for Wisconsin.
We're playing the same scheme, effectively. They're playing a 3-4-2. I'm sure there's some differences in what they like to do schematically. None of their players are remotely as productive as the Wisconsin guys are.
Not close. They're just testing better.
So What are we doing here? Like at some point, the instincts and everything else that actually happen on the football field, that stuff matters. Yeah. There's a reason why we have fifth and sixth rounders that end up coming in and being better players than guys who are taken in the, you know, rounds 1 through 3, because they may not have the blown it up in the combine, but they do the other things better. They're smart. They don't make mistakes. And that's what you see normally. Guys who make a lot of lapses. I mean, we still have running backs that are running for yards against Nebraska defenses.
Yes, it's true. It is so true. You know, and The secondary that we had last year, I think it was Caesar Williams, but it might have been Fayon Hicks, also tweeted about this because those dudes didn't even get Senior Bowl invites. They didn't get a chance to go to the – or Senior Bowl, I think they did, but they didn't get a chance to go to the Combine, right? And I think it was Fayon Hicks that tweeted, best defense in the country, can't get Combine.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If he had gone to the Combine, Fayon Hicks, and ran those numbers, he's probably a fifth or sixth round pick, right? If Scott Nelson had gone to the Combine and did what he did at Wisconsin's Pro Day – now, Wisconsin's Pro Day is notorious for shaving a few tenths of a second as well. Let's be fair here. But
well, I will say this. They're laser timed at the Wisconsin Pro Days now.
Who's running the laser?
I mean,
Hank Poteet.
You could say it's a fast track.
I think it's a bit of a fast track.
But then again, Indy's supposed to be a fast track too.
Sure.
There's a reason why guys are down in the 4.2s.
Sure. Leo Chanel ran a 4.53. That's not a slow track either. I just think that there's something here that people are generally missing. You know, Fayon Hicks, again, I'm not trying to just beat that drum. Like, he's a seventh-round pick for a reason. It's not like I think he's a third- or fourth-round guy. But you're talking about a 5'10", 5'11"-ish guy who runs really well, who started a long time, and is feisty. Like, to me, he's going to stick in the league.
And they're playing in a pro-defensive scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the Badgers' defensive scheme is more in-depth than most. And if you have a guy that can run that in college already, that's telling that you're probably going to have a guy who's not going to make mistakes when things get complicated in the NFL.
Yeah, there's an intangible check there, right? Like, you're playing for Jim Leonard. That should all these things are giving him
too much credit. I think Leonard is a brilliant coach and he's really good, but I think that at some point people are just putting it all on Leonard as being this, you know, savant, and the players for actually taking care of and implementing that are not being given the credit they deserve.
I think that's fair. Yeah. I think that's fair. And clearly from our discussion today, we both thought Chanel should have been higher. Mm-hmm. You know, we both think some of these later round guys, Henningsen, Fayon Hicks, you know, Stanborn, like, there's talented dudes that seem to slip a little too far. And that's not new, by the way. You go back to the last several years, guys like TJ Edwards, you know, he's vastly outperformed. He wasn't drafted, you know, like, you know, you could go on and on and on with this. Where some of these dudes played at Georgia, if they played at Alabama. Yeah.
If T.J. Watt played at Georgia or Alabama,
he'd be picked in the top five. He'd be
a top 10 pick. Yep.
Absolutely, he would have. There's no doubt. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. Let me talk to you about one more guy. I think Nelson's a guy you can stick to, Scott Nelson. I don't know. What are your thoughts on
Scott Nelson? I think he's got some special teams play in him. We'll see. He takes some bad angles at times defensively, and I think that that's the thing. And he can get tricked. And I think that that's going to be what's going to – like, he's mentally – it's going to have to come together where he does not make the mental lapses like a guy beating him deep. The physical tools are there. I always thought he was fast. Like, some people did not think he was as athletic as he was, and I'm like, this guy can run. He moves out there well. He does not always take good pass to the ball, but – most of the time he comes downhill and he's coming fast. The question is whether he does bite on the double move and then
leaving a guy wide open. The answer to that is yes, occasionally, right? Yeah. But I like the frame. Like, you know, he's a long limbed safety that could play some center field. I think in the right scheme, I'd be interested. It wouldn't stun me. If the odds are always stacked against UDFA.
I think he'll be a special team. Who is it? Maragos?
Chris Maragos, also a Seahawk, by the way.
Yep.
By the way, low key, Tanner McAvoy, also a Seahawk.
Badger safeties.
There's a weird little pipeline.
There's certain teams in the NFL that like Badger players. Apparently, that is not the Packers.
No, apparently it is not. It is the Seahawks, Broncos, and the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those schools, and the Cowboys. Yeah. Definitely the Cowboys as well. So there's some pipelines there, but that pipeline does not flow into Green Bay for whatever reason.
Couple teams that are really good offensive lines, too. Shocking, huh?
Shocking. Stunning.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Coming up, we're going to keep Justin on the show for one more segment. We're going to get into next year's team. It's been a minute since the Badgers had a first-round pick. Do we see anybody on next year's team being a first-round pick? And what are some of the players on next year's football team, or even in a couple years coming up, that have the highest upside in terms of NFL draft picks? We're going to get into that next. But first, today's show is also brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting, gambling, wagering needs. Tons of sports information as well, newsletters, podcasts, where the next coach is going. It's a great place if you're just a sports junkie like we all are. But you can also go there. You can lay your futures bet. You know, if you really think you know what's going to happen in the NFL next year, you guys know me. Like, I'm on that Trey Lance bandwagon. It is who I am. You know, they almost won the NFC last year with Jimmy Garoppolo. Trey Lance is going to be better, period. So you can get the Niners plus 700 right now. Bengals is another one that's interesting. You can get them at pretty good value if you think they can get back through the AFC. And then the NBA playoffs are kicking on right now. We just saw game one. The Bucks look great. You know, so that's a team. If you think they're going to roll all the way, put some money on the Bucks getting into the championship game or the finals. So great time to do this. Baseball's also kicking. Go online, go to the website, Bet Online. It is where the game starts. Number one place for all your sports betting needs. All right, guys, we're going to bring Justin back into this. Justin, we talked about before kind of the show. It's been since 2017 that the Badgers have had a first round pick. It's been a bit of a slump by Wisconsin standards. You know, is there anybody that conceivably in your mind next year could be a first round pick for the Badgers?
Trying to think of linemen, if anybody could make a jump here. I don't think so. Yeah. I think the closest next year is probably Herbig. And I already know how this is going to play out. Little undersized. Didn't necessarily have to show as much in coverage. Blah, 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 blah. And then he's going to end up going out. Like, listen, Herbig in some ways looks a lot like Zach Bond.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Bond was a third round pick. Right. And I think that he's going to be more productive in his career, which I think Herbig should go earlier. He is a guy that I think probably based off of the season I expect him to have, which I think will be double digit sacks this next year, should probably go in the mid second round.
Right.
He's not going to go in the mid second round. I think you and I both probably feel like he's going to get undervalued again. And this is a guy that's probably going to end up starting at some point in the NFL for multiple years.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I don't see a first-round guy on next year's team, and I also agree with you. The closest guy on the team that I can think of, unless you think, you know, the only one that, in my opinion, could trip it up is let's say Benton has a much more disruptive season and is able to get to the quarterback more. Maybe as an interior guy, we've seen big tackles go in the first round the last couple of years. You know, that's a possibility. I wouldn't bet on it, but that's a possibility to me.
Here's what I'm going to say on that. Do I think he probably deserves to go pretty high? Yes. What do I think he would need to do as an interior guy at Wisconsin? Now you don't have to actually do anything truly at Georgia in terms of statistically to get put into the first round. So they had guys who didn't have great numbers that ended up going early.
Yeah, like the first
pick. And Benton legitimately could have good combine numbers. I think he would probably need 8 sacks from the middle to get himself in the top 2 rounds.
He'd have to be,
which is ridiculous to me, but it is what it is. I think he has 3-4 defense in the NFL being an above average starter written all over him.
And I just want to be fair. I don't think he's explosive enough. Even if he had the sacks.
No, the blueprint there is what, Aaron Donald. And he's not that type of athlete.
No, I mean there's been a couple bigger guys going the first. It's not as common. Javon Kinlaw was out of South Carolina. He's a bigger defensive tackle. He went in the first a couple years ago. He's more of that mold.
From Memphis, probably like 6-7 years ago.
Yep. I mean, it happens, but I think Benton is just a little under that explosiveness threshold for a first round interior guy. And if you take Benton on them, that's the only other guy I could think of. I think it's Herbig or bust for the first round next year. Now, where Herbig could, I have a really hard time thinking Herbig with his stature will get in the first round. You know,
they're going to want him to be 2 inches taller and an extra 15 pounds in weight.
Yep. I'm thinking of just the other draftable guys next year. Tippmann is certainly not going to be a first rounder. You have a couple of the corners. Jay Shaw, Xander Smith are going to be seniors. They're not going to be first rounders.
The next first rounder I see from us is probably not next year, the year after. I think Nelson can put himself in that argument. I think he will be a first round talent by time he's done here.
That leads me to my next question. So we talked about next year. You and I both agree Herbig is a premium player and is going to be probably a second, third round pick, maybe a fourth rounder. I mean, like you said, Bond was a third rounder. Benton is going to get picked. I would be stunned if Alexander Smith and Jay Shaw didn't get picked. You know, basically upperclassmen cornerbacks that are going to be, I think, really good. I think Tippmann will have a chance to get drafted next year if he wants to come out. Again, I think it's probably more of a third, fourth round type guy. look past that lens. What's the next Badger that you feel like really has, you think it's Nelson? Is there anyone else, the left tackle? You think it's, is there anyone else that kind of fits in that mold for you as, yeah, this guy could be our next first round pick?
I think the line, like I'm a big believer in Bob Bosted. I think the offensive line draft picks are going to start an uptick going forward. Especially if the offense becomes more explosive overall. And I do believe that that was a factor in why Wisconsin had so many drafted offensive linemen during 2010 and 11, was the offense was really, really good. Now they were a part of that, but those were the two highest scoring offenses in the modern era for Wisconsin. So if we hit an uptick here and Wisconsin starts getting into the mid to upper 30s somehow in scoring, suddenly those offensive linemen start looking a little bit prettier on tape.
No, I think that's 100% true. I noticed you also did not mention Graham Mertz as a potential first-round pick next year.
If he can, right now he's panhandling outside of one of the NFL stadiums.
Let me say this.
That's not me trying to be mean, but he needs to really have an uptick in production.
Part of the reason I brought it up, and I really don't mean to clown on Graham Mertz, because obviously we're all cheering for him to have an incredible year.
I want him to
year.
Be better.
We all do, 100%. The main reason I brought it up in the context of our draft show is I remember distinctly when he committed and Badger fans immediately went to how early is he going to leave? Like, you know, hope springs eternal in recruiting in the draft, right? So we got this 4-star kid and I just remember everyone talking about we need to get the next guy lined up because this is not a dude who's going to stay, you know, 4 years. And here we are. It's just a retrospect on, listen, recruiting is not always correct. Now, the book isn't written on Mertz either, and hopefully he really comes out and plays well next year. But I agree with you. I can't really think of anyone else. Here's an interesting one for you. Braylon Allen, not even necessarily as a first-round pick. Do you view him as a premium NFL draft prospect type of guy, or is he just going to be too outside the box?
But he's not going to be a first-rounder simply because he's not going to put up the numbers speed-wise.
What about a second-rounder?
I think late second. I do. And when I say this, I think that he'll be a productive NFL player. He's a lot like Chanel in that the guy's a freak. Like he's going to, there's some, what's his name? Who's the running back for the Titans?
Oh, Derek Johnson.
Derek Henry.
Derek Henry. Thank you. Derek Johnson is the Chiefs linebacker, but yes, Derek Henry.
It's not the same body. That guy's taller and lankier. But there's some similarities in terms of power between those two guys and how they can abuse somebody who does not come with authority against them. I think Braylon Allen will do that at the NFL. I do not think he's going to be a breakaway guy. What I do think is that he can be a 20-yard chunk guy who just really beats up a defense. Now, there are some things that I need to see out of Braylon. I need to see him. He's got to be able to not get so dinged up this year. So he's got to take care of himself a little better. He takes a lot of direct hits. And that's something that we talk about with running backs, right? Oh, he's always a guy that never takes that big knock. Braylon takes those big knocks. He's got to find a way to take a few less of them because that's what happens. You know, it's freshman years. He got really banged up. Jonathan Taylor was more elusive than him. And I don't think Taylor's particularly like super elusive, but he's pretty good at, he's slippery.
You know, the thing with Braylon Allen, and it might be a bit of like break. You remember Brandon Jacobs, the old Giants, Giants running back.
That's a pretty good comp for him.
That's the first guy I thought of. And, you know, Jacobs was an elite, but Jacobs was a really good running back in the NFL for, you know, 4 years.
He's over 1,000 yards for several years.
I could see him being that type of player. I think it's hard for big backs not to take the big shots.
He's a little bit more athletic than I think Jacobs was.
Yeah, I think he's probably, I would say so. I would agree. I don't know if he's quite as fast as Derek
I think
Henry.
It's pretty close. Then as Henry, no.
Yeah.
Henry's a legit 4.4 guy, isn't he?
I think he might be high 4.4s. Yeah. So, I agree with you. I don't see that as a first-round pick either. I think you and I are on board with Nelson or one of the other young offensive linemen, right? It could be Malman. It could be Trey Wedding. You could go down the list with that.
The other outside linebacker prospects, there are guys that we have brought in that have a little bit more of the prototypical build. Who I could see end up being guys that end up being premium outside linebacker targets. Yep.
Peterson, Bowlers, those guys.
Peterson, I think, is a little undersized. I think Bowlers can be. I think that Caden Johnson potentially could be. I know these are guys that clearly have to put a production. I think Witt, if he can come back and get healthy again,
your guy.
His frame
You can't screams go without mentioning Quinn. I can't. I love it.
But the mentality, and size that he has, if the get off is there where he has that first step, there are teams that will salivate over a guy who's 6'5", 6'6", with length that can get into an offensive tackle, because it's so hard for that guy to recover when you have a guy with that kind of length and bend.
Well, and the staff has raved about him. Like, he clearly has all the goods, except
for his mentality.
Stay healthy. Yeah, except for being able to stay healthy. He clearly.
Hopefully he does.
Oh, man. There's so much talent at that spot. I mean, there's going to be two or three draft picks coming out of that positional group over the next several years. I think that's probably low, right? I think
this is a position where it would not shock me to see us have a second string guy get drafted in the next few years.
Agreed. Or transfer.
too. Hopefully
or
not.
Both. All right, Justin, man, I really appreciate it. Where can people find you? You know, obviously we continue having you on the show because I don't want that to end.
Yeah. Mostly on here. You can follow me at Locked On JJ on Twitter. My 10 followers, you know, I can add to that anytime soon.
That's awesome. All right, guys. Thank you as always for listening to Locked On Badgers, your first listen every day. We all appreciate Justin coming on. He's super sharp. So we continue to have him on the show as well. And, you know, appreciate everything you guys are doing, listening to the show. Once you're done listening to us, make Locked On Big Ten your second listen of the day for all the latest news and notes of the Big Ten Conference. Thank you guys so much, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.